redemption without money. Ye have sold yourselves for naught, but ye shall be redeemed without money. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 3. One of man's sweetest and most prized possessions is liberty. What is health or money or possessions or high-sounding titles if one is not free? How a dog enjoys liberty when freed from its chain, or a criminal when freed from his captivity. In this portion of Isaiah's prophecy, the prophet sees his nation in exile, slaves of a foreign power, and so with their hearts hung on the willow tree. The song had gone out of it. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, they said. Psalm 137, verse 4. That was the answer of the Jews to the request of their Babylonian masters. It was the Lord's song the Babylonians required them to sing. So sacred as not to be sung in any place, or at any time, or in any company. They would be casting their pearls before swine and giving that which is holy to the dogs. Matthew 7 and verse 6, therefore they hung their harps upon the willow tree, and they would not sing in captivity. Now you see here what man has done for himself. Ye have sold yourselves for naught, as Ahab did to work wickedness, as men do freely and get nothing by it, for there is no gain in the service of sin, Satan, or in being vassals to such masters. There is no profit but loss, not pleasure but pain, not honor but shame, not liberty but bondage, not riches but and plenty but poverty and want. But such is human folly. It is the sale of one's whole self to the service of another. Sin has been like a venom of a serpent, who has dragged us into a torpor of spiritual slumber, so that man is insensible of his own action. He has sold himself and is a slave of Satan. Now slavery is our natural state. Our first parents sold themselves to Satan to do acts of sin and rebellion, and we are simply the offspring and progeny of slaves. Slaves. Bound and branded with a perpetual bondage. Bound by fetters stronger than iron chains. And for what price has man sold himself? The answer is for naught, not a thing. No return at all. Were a businessman to sell his goods for nothing, he would soon be bankrupt. And man's folly spells out his own spiritual bankruptcy. And ye have sold yourselves, said the prophet. Every man has sold himself, some to gold, some to lust, some to drunkenness, some to drugs, some to fashion, some to pleasure, but all to Satan to do evil works, especially the evil of forgetting God and departing from him. Satan may not lead all into grosser sins, but he will lead all into unbelief and into the opposite of a heavenward walk. Now in the second place we see what the Lord has done for man. Ye shall be redeemed without money. Our redemption is not like that within national Israel, when slaves to others of the same nation waited only the passing of time to make them free, as the year of Jubilee did. Time remodeled many things, even the face of the earth and the condition of human society. But neither time, nor money, nor merit can redeem our souls. But, said the Lord, ye shall be redeemed. That is the Lord's promise through his prophet. And this is to teach us that our spiritual and eternal redemption from sin, from Satan, and the law, and the world, and death, and hell, is obtained without such corruptible things as silver and gold. There could be no cash transaction sufficient for such a redemption. But redemption would not be without a certain price, albeit only by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. That redemption is accomplished without any price paid to those by whom we have been held captive. It is a price paid to the justice of God, for it is against God that we have sinned, whose law we have broken, whose justice must be satisfied. Only the blood of Christ is a sufficient price to answer all. Hence redemption, though it cost our blessed Savior much, is free to us. It is brought about by God alone, and wholly undeserved by us. It is not through human merit, and not by any ransom price paid to those who have held us captive. The Old Testament is full of light and luster, and it shines with assurance of God's promises of a Redeemer to come. God's wondrous mercy is seen in His redemptive plan. He calls His Son to bear the sinner's curse. He lays help upon one that is mighty to bear it. And He clearly shows in the Old Testament by type and symbol and illustration and word of promise how He does so. It is a blood-stained record. All types and symbols in the old economy are full of blood and full of death. So the Redeemer was promised, and the plan made clear, not with entreaties only upon His lips, not to melt justice with soft appeals, not to beg for mitigation or reprieve, but by bearing our sins in His own body and absorbing all due punishment in that body. He claims the right to save by substitution on behalf of His people. The sinful soul of man is one flesh and blood. He will take upon Him this nature. He will assume our humanity. He will become a kinsman of our race. His people's sins will be laid upon Him. He Himself will mount the steps of the altar of God. He will bear their penalty. He will drink the cup of woe until it is drained. He will allow the sword of justice to be sheathed in His own heart. He will sustain the hell of torment which should have passed upon us. This is the one fact upon which the redemption of man hinges. It was all wrought out and accomplished by our Lord's sufferings and death on the cross. In the verses following the text in Isaiah, the Lord confirms this by mentioning past instances of this. The Assyrians had no pretense why they should oppress Israel, but they did so several times and carried them away captive, as you see from the invasions and captivities by Pul and Tiglath-Pileser and Salmaneser and Sennacherib, and even Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which was once the metropolis of the Assyrian Empire. Like the Egyptians, they oppressed God's people without any just reason. But God delivered them out of their hands, and that without a ransom price paid to them, their enemies. But until man sees his soul drift towards an eternal lostness, he will not want deliverance. He will not cry. He will not beg for deliverance. But when that day comes, and with it a sense of helplessness to deliver ourselves, what a wondrous thing it is to know that our deserved death has taken place. Our sufferings have been borne. Our agonies endured. The worms slain, vengeance satisfied, sins washed away, all debts paid. Believing this with the whole heart, our heaven is begun. Hell's portals closed, all chains are shivered, all fires made extinct. Redemption. Oh, redemption by the blood of Christ. It is this alone which opens a passage to heaven, to eternal and blessed rest, to rule and reign with our Lord and our God forever and forever. Now listen to the words of Elizabeth Charles. Never further from thy cross, never higher than thy feet. Here earth's precious things seem dross, here earth's bitter things grow sweet. Gazing thus our sin we see, learn thy love while gazing thus. Sin which laid the cross on thee, love which bore the cross for us. Pressing onwards as we can, still to this our hearts must tend. Where our earliest hopes began, there our last aspiring end. Till amid the host of light, we in thee redeemed complete, through thy cross made pure and white, cast our crown before thy feet. And may it be so. Amen and amen.